Kalamazoo's Morning News. It's 590 WKZO. Tim, Jim, Jay. And joining us on the phone, U.S. Representative Bill Huizinga. Sir, how are you this morning?
Hey, doing well, guys. How are you?
No, we're all pretty good this morning. You know, it's an 82-degree day, lots of sunshine, and already 60. We can't argue.
I love this time of year. It gets a little cool. It's starting to feel like football weather, but it's still summer.
So absolutely, without a doubt. All right, so we're not arguing, but boy, up on Capitol Hill, there's got to be a lot of arguments going on. Let's start with the Iran agreement. Where are you at with that, and what are you hearing from everyone in D.C.?
I think it was a huge mistake moving ahead with what the Senate did, and certainly with what the initial agreement that the president had. And this isn't about Israel. This is about Saudi Arabia, Jordan, a number of others in that region, who a lot of the experts believe that this is going to prompt a nuclear arms race. We know that a few years ago, the United Arab Emirates got a nuclear program, but they negotiated it with the West so that they're not enriching their own uranium. They're getting it imported. They don't have the centrifuges. So I think the world has become a more dangerous place with this agreement at the end of the day. And for the president to claim that there's this wide support for his actions is just clearly not the case.
All right, so what could or what should have been in there that isn't in there that would have swayed your vote?
Well, what should have happened is we should have continued the regime sanctions. That's what really brought them to the table. I sit on the Financial Services Committee,
right.
And we have put a tremendous number of sanctions in on the leaders, on the ability to move money around the world. There's billions and billions of dollars in lawsuits that have been settled in favor of families and companies against the Iranian regime for terrorism acts. They're still listed as state terrorists, sponsors of state terrorism. I think we should have continued to move forward with that pressure that was clearly working, I believe. So to just simply say, well, they were going to get the bomb anyway, and so we had to delay this a little bit. I just don't accept the premise that it was this agreement or it was going to be war, as the president put it.
Did you think that they were going to get the bomb anyway? I mean, do you believe that they would have under this?
They certainly have the potential. There is no doubt about that. But that's where we needed to have international pressure, not just U.S. pressure, but international pressure. That continued that to make that unacceptable. And when we're talking international pressure, it's not just the West here in the United States and Germany and France or even Russia and China. We need countries in the Middle East doing that, and that's exactly what happened with the United Arab Emirates. You had other countries in that region, powerful countries, who said, "Wait a minute, time out. This is not an acceptable situation." And they clearly were not comfortable with that, but I believe the administration was just kind of plowing ahead with a goal of trying to make this work.
We're talking with U.S. Representative Bill Huizinga. So in the end, you know, we've got kind of a 10-year span here. I don't want to put you in the prediction business, but I'm going to put you in the prediction business. What happens, you know, 10 years from now? Do you think they've got nuclear capabilities, and do you think they've got a bomb? And you know, what's the scenario?
Well, and not only that, those are highly possible. Not only that, part of this agreement is going to grant them the ability to continue with ICBM technology. There's only one reason you have an ICBM, and that's not me saying this. This is military leaders who have said this in testimony. That is to launch weapons and to launch nuclear weapons specifically. That's why I believe Europe is in a more dangerous spot. We know that, it's highly speculated that the Saudis helped bankroll the Pakistani nuclear program a number of years ago after India got the bomb. What we do know is that the Saudis have requested technical assistance from the Pakistanis now. And I believe there's going to be other countries like Saudi Arabia who are going to be requesting that same technical assistance. So you're going to see an escalation, a heightening of the tensions there.
All right, let's change gears just a little bit. Yesterday, Vladimir Putin announced that, you know, for all intents and purposes, you're looking at a forward base now in Syria for Russia. Where do we stand on that? You know, is our Syrian strategy working at this very moment?
I'm sorry, you have to tell me what the Syrian strategy is.
I was hoping you were going to be able to tell me.
Well, so that's the problem, and you've got the White House pointing the fingers at the military leaders. The military leaders pointing back at the White House, and the White House says, "Well, you know, when the generals give me a strategy, then we'll let you know." Literally, he has said that, and you've got military leaders who are saying, both publicly and privately, "We've laid out options, and we can't get the White House to make a decision. Which option is it?" And there is no strategy. That's part of the problem in this entire thing that is wrapped up, whether it's Iran, Syria, Turkey, Libya, that whole area. There is no coherent strategy coming out of the administration on foreign policy in general. I mean, tell me what the strategy is with North Korea. Tell me what the strategy is with Russia and Ukraine. We literally have just sort of been bouncing around from crisis to crisis, and that is one of, I think, the biggest failings of this administration. And it's frustrating because I would love to see politics stop at the water's edge. I am not trying to diminish our ability to be an international player. I just believe that the president's inaction and lack of strategy has caused us to slip off the world stage as the leader. And I was at a dinner a couple of years ago, a year ago or so. Tony Blair was up in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
And he said, "We don't need the United States to be liked. We need the United States to be respected and to be a leader."
I don't know how much you've been paying attention as of recent to the refugees out of Syria, but is there something that the United States can do to help these folks? Because the stories are absolutely abhorrent.
Yeah, they're horrendous, and clearly, sure, there is, whether it's our both private and governmental aid, we ought to be helping out. But again, there has to be a strategy. The Europeans do need to take a lead on this. This is their countries that they are coming into or trying to come into, a lot of them very generously have opened their doors. But now you've got countries like Germany saying, "Wait a minute, we can't take any more. We can't handle any more." So it means you do have to go fix the root problem as well. We have to stem the tide of the refugees, not just by holding it back, but by fixing the reason why they are going. And again, that just takes a strategy and some leadership.
Do you think the U.S. should take some of those refugees?
We have to be very, very careful if we do. We need to properly vet them. ISIS and others have said that they see the vulnerability in this strategy of just kind of letting anybody in. They're going to send people that they are kind of planting. And again, that's not speculation. That is things that they have said that they would do, and they would exploit that. So we would have to be very careful how we do it. I think we can vet them, but it's going to take some time. So, which means you're going to have to hold them on one of our military bases or something along those lines while the vetting process is done.
So the president isn't completely off base, and you don't vehemently disagree with him when he says, "Hey, look, we need to take some of these people in, some, but there's got to be a process there."
Yeah, I think it's how you do it. Okay. is the key. Look, we are a country of immigrants, and we have taken refugees in. My parents, my dad was part of a group that took in Cuban families back when Castro took over into West Michigan. West Michigan was a huge destination for Vietnamese and Cambodian refugees after the war there and what was going on there. So we have a history and a tradition of doing that, not only as a country but as an area. But again, we just have to make sure that we are doing this differently than we have in the past. I think smart is a key element. How we do this is we have to be very careful about it. because the world has changed, and the players that are involved here are very, very dangerous.
Representative Huizenga, always good talking to you. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you much. It's Kalamazoo's Morning News. It's 590 WKZO.